Let's go out to the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, where we find our friend and yours, Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. Read his Steelers stuff at postgazette.com. Ray, brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers. That's LGKG Injury Lawyers, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally. LGKG.com. Ray, I'll say this much for City Limits. When it comes time to correct something, he does it right away. He honored you by giving you your song, didn't he?
I know. You didn't even have to ask this week, Joe, so that's good. He's on the ball.
Have you developed a nice relationship with City Limits so far? Would you say it's blossoming right now?
I have. We talk about his announcing schedule for both high schools and his Division III slate every week. So
yeah.
I'm a big football fan, so I try to follow along.
Did you know that Ray played at Keystone Oaks?
I knew that he was the Keystone Oaks guy.
Where did he play in college?
Yeah, I think I know the answer to this, too.
Go ahead and tell him, Ray.
As soon as you say it, I'm going to get really upset. It wasn't Marietta, was it?
No, and you just... Go ahead, Ray. Where'd you play?
It was not Holy Cross.
Holy Cross.
I've heard that how many times, and I forgot.
I know.
I'm sorry, okay. Ray.
Here we go,
it's
Ray.
It's easy to forget.
Yeah, it is. Well, no, it's not. Listen... Anybody who plays college sports at any level, I have a ton of respect for. My brother Johnny played football at Brockport. My wife is from Brockway, Pennsylvania. He played at Brockport, and then he played at Buff State, which is cool, right? I mean, any college sport, anywhere at any level, I have tremendous respect for people who do that, and for you at Holy Cross.
There you go. Buffalo State. What's that? Division III?
I think so, yeah. I think it's Division III.
Maybe we could have Austin call one of their games.
I'll do it. Sign me up.
I think we should. We got a big game in Indy, Ray. A very big game. In your opinion, what's the biggest storyline of the week with the Steelers? Is it something injury-related, quarterback-related? What's the big story of the week?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Joe, the quarterbacks, I mean, we had Arthur Smith yesterday. I think he was asked one question about a quarterback, and it was at the very end of his news conference. So I think people are kind of catching on to the idea that until Russell Wilson is a full participant in practice, you know, we're just going to march forward with Justin Fields. I do think the injuries, you know, the Steelers have to prove they can withstand these injuries to Alex Highsmith. Nick Kirby's going to get a chance. I think he's an excellent player, but – that obviously affects their depth. And, you know, people aren't talking about Corey Trice being down, but they like Corey Trice. Now he's gone for a month, and they're going to have to make do with either James Pierre or Darius Rush as their number three corner. So their depth is being tested a little bit, you know, for the first time this season, especially on defense, and we'll see if they can overcome that.
Is Roman Wilson going to play in this game? I keep talking to people out and about, and one of their first questions is he going to play? People want to see him on the field.
I don't get the sense that he is, Joe. You know, Mike kind of alluded to this on Tuesday at his news conference. It just takes a lot of time to get back when you miss like a month or more from an injury. And when you consider he's a rookie, it's really compounded. So I think Roman Wilson is going to get a shot this year. But we saw what they did last week. They didn't feel a need to dress him. They dressed four tight ends instead, including Rodney Williams, who was a practice squad call-up. And I just think they feel very comfortable either dressing four receivers and four tight ends or just dressing four receivers and giving another position to Danny Smith on special teams. So until Roman Wilson can go out there and prove he earns a spot through practice, I don't think we're going to see him anytime soon.
So, Ray, Dan Graziano, Jeremy Fowler floated out a couple of names, Christian Kirk, DeAndre Hopkins, as players who could be available at the deadline for the Steelers and other teams to look at. Do you think that could be a realistic possibility?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Steelers are always going to be linked to receivers because they are pretty thin after George Pickens. And, you know, if they get in a situation where late in the season. They're still in contention for the playoffs. They're going to want to add more depth. So, you know, the Hopkins one is intriguing just because he has a better pedigree than a guy like Christian Kirk. To me, Kirk is, you know, pretty much a slot guy. I know he could play outside too, but, you know, with the Jaguars, he's just kind of a small, shifty guy that, you know, he's produced a little bit, but I wouldn't get as excited about him as I would have got about a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. So we'll see where that goes, but I don't get the strong sense that Omar is wheeling and dealing just yet. I think that's probably going to be later next month near Halloween as we get closer to the trade deadline.
Ray Fittipaldo on the Fan Hotline. Read his stuff at postgazette.com. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So, Ray, this game, we were just talking about it, how it almost adds up too much for the Steelers, and yet Vegas always seems to know something, and they only have them as a 1.5-point favorite against a team with a quarterback who completes less than 50% of his passes, throws it to the other team a lot, banged up a little on the offensive line, and a defense that can't stop the run. Do you think it's going to be close?
Yeah. I do think it's going to be close. Listen, they went in there last year, Joe. They lost 30-13. I know Gardner Minshew was the quarterback, and you can't really draw a lot of things from that game. Jonathan Taylor didn't even play in that game. But the way the Steelers play, you know, every game is going to be a close game, even when they're on the road. I think they're a better team than the Colts. But anytime you go on the road, Joe, you know, I think, you know, the odds are going to be stacked against you. So I get it. I think they should be a favorite in that game. But when you play 13-10, 16-13 types of games every single week, you know, I think the point spreads are going to be reflected in the manner that they are this week. I don't think that's going to change whether it's the Cowboys next week or the Raiders the week after. There's going to be all kinds of close point spreads for the Steelers, I think, throughout the entire season.
But do you think that maybe the willingness to use the middle of the field, was it more matchup-based? Is it more comfort with Justin Fields as of last week? Is that something we could see continue as the season goes on?
You could, but did you see the way that Los Angeles was deploying Derwin James and their safeties in that game? They were run-blitzing early. They were taking away all the running lanes. So when teams are doing that, eventually, you do have to go over the middle and take chances and you know, throw the ball where the safeties aren't. So I thought the Steelers were selective when they do that. I thought Arthur Smith called a really, really good game. Yeah, it didn't look pretty early, but, you know, he called the right plays in the second half, and Justin and those receivers executed really, really well. The running game got going late, which was really good to see. So, you know, we're still not at the point where this offense – is clicking on all cylinders, but you do see incremental improvement. Like the running game, being able to run out the clock, the final 5 minutes of the clock, that is huge. You know, receivers like Calvin Austin making a big play to give your team a 10-point lead, huge. Those were things we weren't seeing last season with Matt Canada. Yeah, the numbers are probably similar, points per game, even yardage, stuff like that, but I'm really encouraged by some of the other stuff, kind of the intangible stuff that Arthur Smith and his players are doing this year.
Ray, how does the division of labor work in place of Alex Highsmith this week?
Yeah, I think you're going to see Nick Herbig get starter snaps. So, you know, probably he and TJ, you know, I think TJ's been playing like around 85, Alex too. So Nick's going to get a ton of snaps. And then you'll see DeMarvin Leal sub in for both. So it might not be a lot depending on what kind of game it is. You know, it could be, you know, 12, 15, 20 snaps for Leal, but he's going to be the number three guy this week. And it's a huge opportunity for him. You know, he's a guy, third round pick, a lot of hope that he would turn into a player. Hasn't really found his niche as a defensive lineman, as a 3 or a 5 technique. Now he gets to try outside linebacker. And, you know, we were talking to Terrell Austin about him yesterday. Austin has no issues with him going and playing outside exclusively. So even though he's a different body type. Austin is very confident that he'll go in there and do a good job on Sunday.
Ray, Mason McCormick came in a plethora of times in the Charger game and performed pretty well.
Plethora?
Yeah.
You like that word, Ray?
That's an SAT word.
That's a big word.
Yeah. Is there, with the possibility that Isaac Seumalo could return this week, if not maybe next week, also his status, and do you think McCormick could be deployed a little bit more in the offense as an extra lineman?
So Seumalo is not going to play. We'll get confirmation on that later today. Maybe the Cowboys game, you know, it's probably the first time we'll see him. We'll see how that goes next week. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Mason McCormick starts. I think we got a preview of that last week when he rotated in. Mason McCormick and Spencer Anderson are probably pretty even right now. They might even think more highly of Mason McCormick. But part of the reason they're doing this, guys, is the swing tackle position. Spencer Anderson can play all over the offensive line. If you dress him, he can be a backup guard or backup tackle, and he can play pretty much anywhere for you as a reserve. So you look at it however you want, but if you think Spencer Anderson and Mason McCormick are similar players, it makes all the sense in the world to start McCormick in guard and then have Spencer Anderson be one of your top three reserves on Sunday.
We want you back with us to talk more and more Pittsburgh sports out there. Don't be a statistic. Get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. Ray, do you think this is a weekend where Najee, they up the carries, up the touches? He gets, 25, 30 touches overall, or is that too many?
Well, what do you have? He had around 20 last week, I want to say. I think with no Jaylen Warren this week, I think we could see him maybe up around 20. I don't think you're going to see 25 or 30, though. They like Cordero Patterson a lot. I don't think they have any issues with giving him, you know, instead of his usual 4 or 5, give him 8 or 10. And then you're likely to see a practice squad call up guy like Aaron Champlin or Jonathan Ward come up, mostly for special teams, but also to be a number three running back in this game. So I wrote about it earlier in the week. You know, Joe, you know, we talked in May, you know, why didn't the Steelers pick up the fifth-year option? Their reason was, we want to see Najee Harris in this offense before we commit money to him. Well, I don't know about you guys, but he looks really good in this offense. So to me, going forward, is that something you want to revisit after the season? Can you get a deal done with him at a reasonable number so he's your feature back once again in 2025?
That reminds me of something, Ray, and I made a mistake on the air yesterday when, for some reason, I had it in my mind that the Steelers had made an exception to their forever policy of not negotiating, not signing somebody in the middle of a season. I don't know why, but I thought Ben had, but that was not true. I got that wrong. But the question is, should they adhere to that policy moving forward, or would it behoove them, with a guy like Najee, or maybe especially Justin Fields before the price rises, to revisit that policy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think, like, I always tell you guys, well, Omar and Andy are running a different ship. That's true. That's very true. They are doing things differently inside that building. But when it comes to that mindset, that's an ownership thing. And that's the way the Rooneys have done business over the years, whether you go back to the Chief or to Dan, or now to Art the Second. So I don't think it's going to change. You know, Omar can maybe give his input, but even Omar has been on the record that they're not going
to
change that mind. You know, with Justin Fields, maybe it would if you figure out he's the guy, but we don't even know if he's the guy yet, Joe. I mean, it's a three-game sample. Russell Wilson presumably will be back soon. Presumably he's going to get an opportunity to show what he can do. So to me, the quarterback position is still very much to be decided, and I think you can make that call tail end of January, February, first week of March, before free agency gets here. I don't think there's a hurry to do anything, you know, November or December during the season.
Ray, the Russell Wilson thing is odd and puzzling to me, because it seems like he's doing the exact same things in practice that he's done the last 3 weeks. Like, is there no progression? Is there no change in his status with this injury? I'm just so confused by everything.
Well, just because he's listed as limited for like the last 3 weeks or a month doesn't mean like there are different ways of being limited, I guess. You know, you have, if you do everything, you're full, but there's different stages, Austin, of being limited. So I do think he's done more this week. Obviously, not enough to be the starter. You know, I don't have a great sense of when it's going to be. Maybe it's next week against Dallas, before Dallas. He gets to be full, and then maybe Mike is going to have to address that in some way before the Cowboys game. Maybe it's the week after for the Raiders game. What I do know is they want to take time with this injury. They don't want to see another setback, because if you have a second setback, then you pretty much have to IR him, right, and see if you can get it right and not even have him practice. So this is a really important stretch for Russell in his rehab. I just think they're being really careful, and they don't want to bring him back until they absolutely have to.
Ray, the running game's off to a pretty good start. I notice Amanda Godsey for the Johnstown Tribune Democrat. I think she does a good job picking out important stuff. She has their rushing yards through three games this year and the previous three. Previous three were 53 yards a game in 21, 90 yards a game in 22, 67 yards a game last year, 131 yards a game, and you could argue this is before they really get going. What do you read into that early in the season?
Yeah, they're 12th in rushing. They're not terribly efficient. Like, their yards per carry isn't, I don't even think it's in the top half of the league, but you know what I was talking about earlier, Joe, the intangibles, the running attempts, the time of possession, keeping your defense off the field. You know, I think that's been, you know, an unspoken part of this team's success this year.
Yeah.
The defense is really, really good because the offense is possessing the ball more, and those guys are fresher. And they don't have to be on the field a ton. So it's called complementary football. You know, the offensive numbers aren't great. I mean, I could sit here and make an argument, Joe, that the run game efficiency numbers aren't good enough, but they're doing enough other good things in the running game, the way they possess the ball, to be a winning team. And that's really all that matters at this point in the season.
Wonder Twin, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
You very well may, shall.
Najee over under 23.5 touches in this game.
I'll go under.
T.J. Watt, over, under 1.5 sacks.
Under.
Nick Herbig, over, under 1.5 sacks.
Oh, I'll go under. He got 2 last week.
Mount Washington, over, under 0.5 touchdown catches.
I'll go under.
Minka, over, under 0.5 interceptions.
They've been avoiding him. I'll go under again.
Are we going to be saying after the game that DeMarvin Leal should be playing more? Or, I guess that's why he hasn't really made an imprint in a few years.
I'll go, but I think that's going to be more because Nick Herbig and TJ were really good instead.
Final score of the game?
I'm going to go 19-16 Steelers. Another nail-biter for the fans on Sunday.
If they're losing in the third quarter and have the ball with a fourth down at the Colts 39, will Mike Tomlin punt again like he did in last year's game, or let Chris Boswell, the greatest long-range kicker in NFL history, try one from 56 yards indoors?
Shoot, he let him try from 62 on grass last week.
Exactly, yes.
He'll let him go from 66, I think, if he could.
Man, I agree with that. That was something last year to witness. Anthony Richardson, over, under 1.5 picks.
I've seen some of their clips. I'll go over.
Jonathan Taylor. Now let me phrase the question this way. Who has more rushing yards, Jonathan Taylor or Najee?
Taylor.
Over, under 75.5.
I'll go over.
Justin Fields, over, under 9.5 rushing attempts.
Under.
Over, under 0.5 touchdowns.
Rushing touchdowns.
Yes.
Under.
Bengals dropped to 0-4 with a loss to the Fighting Andy Daltons.
That would be poetic, but I'll say no.
Josh Allen is the best player in the NFL right now.
No, I'm still going Mahomes.
Even three games into the season? So if you had an MVP vote yes. right now, who would it be?
Oh, if I had an MVP vote, I'm going with Josh Allen. But if I'm talking about trying to win another Super Bowl, a guy who gets it done, doesn't always look pretty, I'm still going with Mahomes.
Limits thinks that Sam Darnold is the MVP and will be the MVP. Do you think Limits is crazy, or do you think Limits is right on target?
Well, I said right now he's the MVP.
You said he would be the MVP at the end of the year.
Did I say he will be?
Yes. He's your favorite player.
I still think Josh Allen might have a good chance, but I'll stick by it, yeah, for sake of argument.
If you think that, you should run down to Bet Rivers and make that bet. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's a nice story. He's getting an opportunity because of an injury, but I would be surprised if the Vikings keep this up for the entire season.
Ray, you're a wonderful man. Thank you for taking the time.
All right, guys. Enjoy your weekend.
Who's driving to Indy?
I am driving. I'm getting a car, and I'm taking Jason Mackey with me.
Just you and Mackey?
Just me and Mackey. Jerry went out today to do some golfing at Muirfield Village. I bet you wish you were there, Joe.
Oh, man, do I wish I was there. So it's you, Mackey, and Dulac?
Yeah, Backo's coming too, but Backo's not driving with us.
And will you go out for steaks tomorrow night?
We could, or there's this little Italian restaurant called Iaria's that we always frequent as well. So it might be probably going to be Iaria's rather than St. Elmo's.
Just don't add a D to that restaurant's name. Thank you, Ray.
All right, see you, Joe.
Iaria's? Limits, have you ever heard of anything like this? Does that sound like an appetizing name to you?
No. Let's you could and easily I head get on, misconstrued.
Let's you and I head on out to Iaria's tonight? I don't know. I don't know about that one. No disrespect to the people there.